Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through it you speak to us. And we ask now as we consider the ascension of Jesus, that you would help us to know its importance and that you would help us to be people who live with Jesus as our Lord and King. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You might remember a few years ago when there were bushfires in New South Wales. The Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, got absolutely grilled by the media for going on a family holiday to Hawaii and not cutting it short. The issue was not the holiday. The issue was that there was a national emergency going on and our leader was absent. The pictures contrasted in the media was a leader relaxing in Hawaii, such as that one. And they were placed next to the victims of the fires. And it just didn't look good. He was unable to respond on the ground because he was overseas. These past few months, the media have picked up a similar thing with our current Prime Minister, who's been out of the country a lot, absent, while there's been a significant increase in cost of living, what the media is calling the cost of living crisis. It's hard to lead when you are absent. At the leadership course I went on a few weeks ago, when I was absent, they had an acronym for what leaders needed to do, and it was ICEM. You need to inspire, challenge, enable, encourage, and model. Well, it's very hard to inspire and challenge people, to enable and encourage them, and it's especially hard to model if you're not there, if you're not on the ground, if you're not involved. It's hard to lead when you're absent. But what about Jesus, the leader of the church? Is he not absent? Christians for over 1,000 years, as we did earlier in the service, have declared on the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus left. He went up. The disciples in Acts chapter 1, which we had read for us a moment ago, saw Jesus go up, saw Jesus ascend into the clouds. It would have been a surreal sight. And the disciples, they actually need angels to come and tell them what's going on. They haven't quite understood it. They're standing there looking up into the clouds, and the angels come along. In verse 10, they say, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you've seen him go into heaven." The angels are confirming that they are not going to see Jesus anymore. So they've had this period where Jesus, he's come back from the dead. He's been appearing to them on different occasions, but that's not going to happen anymore. He's gone up. He's ascended. And this going up is an important event. Luke, the writer of the book of Acts and the writer of the Gospel of Luke, records it for us twice. Once at the end of Luke, in Luke 24, and here at the beginning of Acts. And in fact, the book of Acts is structured in such a way that the rest of the book doesn't make sense unless Jesus goes up, unless Jesus ascends. So Jesus has gone up. He's left his physical presence. His physical presence is no longer on earth. But does that mean that Jesus has left the church rudderless, without leadership? Now, you might be here today and thinking, well, maybe the answer is yes. You know, you look around at the church and there's a crisis in the church. You know, the church in various parts of the world and even in Australia is divided. There's a division that seems to look more and more irreconcilable. To add to that, the church is guilty of some great atrocities through history. And a common thing that I hear people say is that they've been hurt by the church. It's often why they don't want to come to church anymore. There's a feeling of betrayal. The church is often perceived as hypocritical and unloving. And maybe you're here today and you've experienced and felt these things. And so, is the church leaderless? Does Jesus going up mean that he's left us without a leader in a time of crisis? How does Jesus inspire his church or challenge his people, enable them to serve or encourage them through difficulty and model while absent? Well, in our series leading up to Christmas, we're looking at the different entries and exits of Jesus. Last week, we saw Jesus entered the world, God in the flesh. Well, today we're going to look at Jesus' exit from this world, where he's, after he's risen from the grave, he goes up into heaven. And what we'll see is that actually, rather than leaving the church rudderless, without a leader, that this was always part of God's plan. And that while Jesus is absent physically, he is still present with us. But first, let's have a look at what happened in a little detail. So what happened? Well, it's recorded here in Acts chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles there, you might want to have that open in front of you. The disciples are sitting around. They're having a meal with Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." And verse 5 makes it clear that the gift that they are waiting for is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what the disciples don't quite realize yet is that they don't realize Jesus is not going to be with them physically when it happens, when they get this gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see that with their question in verse 6. He says, they say, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" See, in their minds, Jesus' kingdom ministry was going to happen with Jesus present. Jesus has just asked them not to leave Jerusalem, which was the capital of Israel. And their hope is that Jesus is going to overthrow the Roman rule and establish ancient Israel with God's kingdom that Jesus brings. They want Jesus to be present in this world as leader. And it's easy to understand where they're coming from. Wouldn't it have been better if Jesus had stayed, just kicked back with the disciples and focused on growing the church? That's what the disciples wanted. They didn't want Jesus to leave. Imagine Jesus, the perfect leader, who because he's resurrected from the dead could never die. If he'd stayed around, what would have happened? Would we have had the Crusades? Probably not. Would the church be divided by denominations? Because, well, any theological controversy that rocked up, Jesus could just say, "Nah, that's the answer." Our leaders who shouldn't have been leaders to start with wouldn't be promoted, wouldn't be ordained, because, well, Jesus knows the hearts of men. He'd be able to deal with issues that arise with justice and with truth. It seems like a good solution to an imperfect church, doesn't it? It's what the disciples are hoping for and asking for. They want Jesus to restore Israel. They want him to be their leader that is present. But Jesus knows he's going to depart. Jesus knows he's not staying on earth. And he corrects his disciples. Firstly, he reminds them that God's timing is God's timing. Verse 7, he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates that Father has set by his own authority." But then in verse 8, he emphasizes that he has to leave because then they're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And that God's kingdom is not just going to be a local kingdom in Israel, but it's going to be a global kingdom. I'm just going to read verse 8. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." At home, when we make pizza, we get the tomato paste and we get a nice big spoonful of tomato paste and we plonk it down in the middle of the pizza. And then what you have to do is you have to spread out the tomato paste from the middle of the pizza to the edges of the pizza so it's got a nice even spread. Well, that's kind of Jesus' mission plan. It's going to start in Jerusalem and it's going to spread out to the ends of the earth, over the whole globe. Jesus is envisioning his kingdom coming in God's timing across the globe with him absent physically. Not a localized kingdom, but a global one. And so it's not an accident that the very next verses report to us the ascension. It says in verse 9, "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes." It was always Jesus' plan to depart, always Jesus' plan to go up. And it needed to happen because it was Jesus' plan to grow the church. Now, in leaving, Jesus is not just throwing up his hands and saying, "I'm done with you lot. Have fun. Good luck." No, Jesus actually gives the disciples a promise and a rather important mission. The promise is that the Holy Spirit will come, which we'll explore in a moment, and a mission, be my witnesses. The disciples are to witness to Jesus. Or in the words of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, they are to make disciples. They are to lead people to the great leader, the ascended Jesus. So that's what happened at the ascension. But then where did Jesus go? Where did he go when he went up? Well, we're told. And actually, if you flick over your page to Acts chapter 2, in verse 32, we're told that Jesus went up to be with his Father, to sit at God's right hand. It says that in verse 33 that he was exalted to the right hand of God. And he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and poured out what you now see and hear. The ascended Jesus was exalted to the right hand of God. Now, to be exalted is to be honored, it is to be recognized. We don't use the word exalt today very much, but we do have ways of exalting people. Parents of kids will go to school assemblies where the kids are exalted by receiving merit certificates. Or the Citizenship Award. Australia Day, Order of Merits, are a way of exalting people, of honouring people. Well, Jesus has been exalted by God to the right hand. Now, historically, the right hand, if you were a warrior, your right hand would hold your weapon and your left hand would hold your shield. And so a king would have the shield in their left hand, their weapon in the right. And to be the right-hand person for the king is to actually be the defender of the king. To be someone that the king trusts with their very life. It is not only a position of trust and honor, it is the greatest position of trust and honor because it says the king trusts you with his life. And so when God the Father exalts Jesus to his right hand, it is Jesus being given the most honored place that God can give. And it means that Jesus is given authority. And if we keep reading Acts chapter 2, we see that as Peter quotes Psalm 110. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Jesus fulfills this psalm. Jesus is the Lord that the psalmist is talking about in Psalm 110. And so Peter, in his sermon, says, "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." Messiah is a way of saying king. Jesus has ascended to be exalted by God. He takes his rightful place as Lord and king. And that means that he rules. It means he has authority, and he exercises that authority from heaven over all creation as Jesus' rightful spot. Now, what should we do with this knowledge? Well, we ought to recognize Jesus' authority. We ought to recognize his lordship. When the people listening to Peter, they were cut to the heart and they asked, "What should we do?" Peter responds and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acknowledge Jesus. Turn to him. And we do that by turning from our sin, asking for forgiveness, and instead seeking to live with Jesus as our King, with Jesus as our Lord. And it says here that Peter says to be baptized. Being baptized is a way of showing that we identify with Jesus, with his lordship. Baptism in the Bible isn't a rite of passage. It doesn't confer the promises of salvation on you. Only Jesus does that. Rather, it's a way of saying, I stand with Jesus. I recognize his lordship, his kingship, and I am with him. And so if you're a Christian and you're not baptized, I encourage you to consider getting baptized. But the lordship of Jesus has other implications that we need to think about as well. one that we need to be aware of, especially as we think about the church, especially as we think about its weakness and its failings, because it's got sinful humans in it, is that Jesus still rules his church. The disciples were given the task of being witnesses, and not to a powerless king, but to the Lord of the universe and the church, for all its failings, when it is being faithful to Jesus, witnesses to the Lord Jesus who is over all. Jesus is very much involved in his kingdom work, guiding it and directing it from God's right hand. And, you know, Jesus, he left quite a vision. Be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. See, the reason that Acts starts with the ascension is that Jesus' mission is ruled by the ascended Jesus. Our efforts to proclaim Christ in the East Kimberley this Christmas, Jesus is overseeing those from heaven. This morning, our service here this morning, Jesus is overseeing that from heaven. How good is that to know? But further to this, the ascended Jesus being Lord means that he's in control over whatever might be happening now. Jesus has not absconded on a jet to escape responsibility, but Jesus from God's right hand is ruling now. No matter what your situation is, he's ruling over it. Yesterday, the Truans, Henry and Crystal, were expecting their stuff to come. It didn't. Instead now, Henry's just ducked out because they've been told their stuff is coming right now. Jesus is superintending that situation. He is Lord of that situation. A couple of years ago, there was a guy in our congregation who was in a terrible car accident. His car rolled numerous times. That he survived was a miracle of God. And it was just so encouraging, actually, just chatting with him after the event, because he knew that Jesus was Lord that whole time, that he was encouraged by Jesus that whole time. And he gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to God for his life, thanks to God for the situation he found himself in. What a comfort when we know that Jesus is Lord. When stuff just doesn't work out, when suffering hits, when life is grim, Jesus is Lord. He went up. He received great authority, exalted to the right hand of God. So where did Jesus go? Well, he went to God's right hand to rule. And so if Jesus is absent physically, which we've just determined that, yes, he is absent physically, in what sense is Jesus with us? In what sense is Jesus' presence here this morning? Well, as we read the ascension accounts, it becomes very clear Jesus had to ascend so that he could send the Spirit. And we see that in Acts chapter 1, where we read in verse 4 that the disciples were commanded not to leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father promised. And then in verse 5, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. See, that gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit sent by the ascended Lord Jesus under the authority of the Lord Jesus. And to be baptized by the Holy Spirit is to receive the Holy Spirit. And it happens that moment that you turn to Christ and begin living for the ascended Lord Jesus. It's not reserved for some special believers. It's not reserved for a time when you have an out-of-body spiritual experience. No, when you turn to Christ, when you place your faith in him, you receive the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is given by Jesus to all who call upon his name. And the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, is part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God dwelling with us. And Jesus sends his Holy Spirit so that we can continue his kingdom work. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Jesus, by sending his Spirit, enables us to witness to him, to grow the church. The disciples of Jesus had to wait in Jerusalem until they received the Spirit before they could witness to him. If we're going to witness to Jesus, we too need the Holy Spirit. Jesus could have stayed and remained as leader of the church on earth, but that wasn't his plan. His plan was to go up and instead send the Spirit and equip us, imperfect as we are, to witness to him. And that's what qualifies us to witness to him, the fact that we have the Holy Spirit. But the fact that Jesus sends the Spirit also means that we don't bear witness on our own. God is with us. Jesus promised in the Great Commission, where he commands his disciples to make disciples. He says in Matthew 28, verse 20, and he says, "And surely I am with you always to the ends of the age." The words "and surely" draw attention and emphasis to the fact that Jesus says, "I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age." Jesus is with us by his Holy Spirit. Christ dwells with us by his Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't remain absent. Physically, yes, he's not here with us, but spiritually, by the Holy Spirit, he is here with us. What a comfort. What an encouragement. When at church we repeat Jesus' words, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them," to know that those words are not empty. Jesus, the Lord and King, is present. And he can be present because he ascended, because he was exalted, and he could with authority send the Spirit. And maybe there are times that we forget this. We forget that Jesus is present. We forget that he dwells with us. We forget that Jesus is the Lord of all things. And it's in those moments, that's when we're likely to fret, to get anxious, to get stressed, to worry, to try and do things in our own strength. But Jesus is with us. And if you have faith in Jesus, Jesus is with you. So Jesus is the one who continues to lead, continues to inspire, to challenge, to enable and encourage the church. Jesus is our leader, our present leader, ruling from heaven, present with us by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your plans are good and gracious, even though sometimes we don't understand them. We thank you that Jesus did ascend, that he did go up, that he has been given all power and authority. And we ask, Lord, that you will help us to recognize that power and authority. But we praise you, Lord, that even though he is at your right hand, he is still present with us by your Holy Spirit. May we know that comfort and help us, Lord, to this week be people who live for you, knowing that you are with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.